better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Ben is in Fayetteville. What's going on, Ben?
Hey, not much, guys. Not much. Did you by chance get to see the San Jose State hype video that they put out after beating the Razorbacks on Saturday?
Did you see that? I saw the video where they had their head coach, Coach Brennan, talk in front of the team. That was the only thing I saw
Well, they made an entire hype video, made by the San Jose State video production company. I put it on hitthatline.com. That should be played in the background as Juracek goes and tells Morris, get two men in a van, get out of town. I hope Ed Henry calls in this week with his public defender role for Morris because he needs it. And then it's actually a story with Bieber and Starkel, that's enough said right there. I mean, what are the Razorbacks, the Kardashians now? I'll hang up and listen. I appreciate the phone call. I highly recommend watching that hype video, though.
All right. Well, thanks, man. I hadn't seen the hype video. I know that, hey, listen, if you're San Jose State, you're going to be milking this thing until the cows come home, literally. I mean, this is something that you're going to be pumped up about. See, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of videos on that. But that's the thing is, you know, Hunter Juracek, I mean, we're not going to know anything from him. Although today, Tommy, he's the speaker at the Little Rock Touchdown Club.
Couldn't be worse time. It seems like this has happened before back with Long. I don't remember the specifics that he had to go face.
I think it was the Louisiana Monroe game.
The music, I think it was after the UL Monroe game, yeah.
Well, the problem is because they schedule it during a week where it's like, don't worry, they'll win that one.
Yeah.
Apparently not. But listen, I get the frustrations about Morris and everything. And like, listen, he's not going to get fired today. Like your check's
very unlikely during the midst of the year.
Yeah, I wouldn't think that would be the case. And I know that we've had...
But I didn't think they'd lose to San Jose
State
either, John.
That's
right. I mean, what do I know?
So there's no guarantees or anything. But by the way, if you're really wanting that, just know that Arkansas would have to wait until January 1st of 2020 where the buyout for Chad Morris would go down to $9.8 million, if that's what you're wanting to do.
Yeah, I mean... We can get into the terms of that, but that's probably way premature to be talking about what the buyout terms are. But you're exactly right. Is Arkansas going to do that? I don't think. To me, this goes beyond Hunter Juracek. This goes all the way up to the board. This is the university administration. I don't think they have the guts to pull the trigger. Now, I'm not sure you need guts to do this. I don't know that it's the right and prudent thing to do on September 23rd, honestly.
But people keep comparing it to what Frank Broyles did to Jack Crow. That's what the comparison keeps throwing around to the Citadel loss.
And Jack Crow had two seasons in one game.
Chad Morris
hasn't had two full seasons.
I get the lack
of stability. And listen, you know, I'm as angry about this as any of you guys out there, but you got to be reasonable and level-headed with long-term decisions. You're talking about a long-term decision here. You made a long-term decision when you let Brett Bielema go. I still believe that is the right decision. Part of the problem and the issue with this program is you have had how many? I mean, you've had no stability really since Houston Nutt left. You know, since 2008, you've had Petrino, John Elferier, Bielema. You've had four head coaches. I mean, one thing you've got to have for success is stability. No structure, foundation, program, business, anything will run smoothly, long term. Without stability, you know, I know it's painful right now, but you got to consider that in part of your calculus on this deal.
I know, but, you know, when you have as many of these losses that keep piling up.
The question is, have you hired the wrong guy? That's the thing. And then if you come to the solid conclusion, the answer is yes. You know, then you got to figure your exit strategy. But I don't think you're anywhere near that right now.
No, you're not. You're not for sure. Let's go back to the phone lines. Alex is in St. Louis. What's going on, Alex?
Not much. Wow. That's all I can say, guys. Wow. One thing that, I mean, really, really upset me, besides the fact that we lost to arguably one of the worst teams in FBS, was the defensive side of the ball was really, really hard to watch. One thing that just really kind of worries me that we have a bunch of players on our defense that are playing for them and not for the team is we're down 24-7 and our defense is celebrating after their offense drops catches or we deflect the ball or get it tackled.
God, that pissed me off. I know exactly what you're talking about. Are you freaking kidding me? Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and the only player that showed any sort of leadership on that defense, and this is one of the guys that I truly look up to and I think is going to be a heck of a player on Sundays, is Dejon Harris. Now, one time did he celebrate after a tackle, and that kid must have had at least 15 tackles that game. If it wasn't for Dejon Harris, this score would have been a lot worse. It's just this team just doesn't – there's a lot of – what about me? You know, instead it needs to be about the team. I mean, when you're a coach and you see something like that, you need to get that guy off the field. If you're celebrating when you're down 24-7, you got a serious problem. Mm-hmm. And that was my main thing that I was just really frustrated at. That and our offensive line. I mean, I went back and watched the game again. Now our offensive line got blown off the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
I couldn't even count how many times they got blown off the line of scrimmage. I mean, my goodness. I mean, it was like we were playing Bama's defensive line. I couldn't believe it. I don't know where to go from here. I really don't. I say I'm not going to watch the Texas A&M game, but it's in my blood. Amen. You know, I'm going to tune in and watch it. But my goodness, guys, I don't know. I really... This worries the heck out of me. This is one of the worst defenses I've ever seen in Arkansas. And that's saying something, guys, because we have not been known for good defense. Thank you guys for taking my call. Hang up and listen.
Appreciate it, Alex, and appreciate you listening in over there in St. Louis, man. I mean, that's the thing, too, Tommy, is that, you know, and like you just looked like a team that didn't want to be there. You looked like a team that wasn't on the same page. You looked like a team that, like, at first I was like, they're overlooking them. They're looking at A&M.
Yeah. They didn't. Yeah, that was it. I don't think it was a team that didn't want to be there. This was a team that thought they had it in the bag. They didn't take their opponent serious at all. And clearly, San Jose State and Coach Burnett, they played off of that. They used that emotion. They used the words coming out of this state that this is one of the worst teams you ever played. And he had his team focused. There wasn't anything tricky about their game plan.
No, just ran slants.
They didn't run any gimmicks to beat Arkansas.
They just lined up and hit you in the mouth. They outworked you. They outgunned you.
But here's the thing they did. They believed they had a chance when they came in here. And that's the difference is they believed, hey, we can win this football game. Their coach got their focus and frame of mind in the right place. Then they go out, and we had a text earlier, please quit putting the defense on the field first.
Please.
Absolutely, quit deferring, because the defense, what do? They go out, and it wasn't a first-place score, but it might as well have been. It set up the score, 50 yards on the first play from scrimmage. 7 plays, 75 yards in the end zone, you find yourself down again. How much of this game was Arkansas behind? I mean, from the late second quarter into to the late third quarter, it seemed like forever.
Yeah.
Arkansas trailed 24-7 or 24-10. I mean, good Lord, you were never really, I know you got back into it, had it tied briefly, but goodness gracious, you were getting your butt handed to you for all of the third quarter. It's just incredible how dominated this team got, particularly at the line of scrimmage. Arkansas was dominated both sides of the ball. Hey, if you need new tires, head over to Southern Tire Mart, Highway 271 and 540. They got the best in-class service for all your automotive needs, offering all of America's most trusted tire brands, including the best-selling Toyo tires that you'll find anywhere in the market. And don't forget, they'll change your oil every day for $24.95. Southern Tire Mart, Highway 271 and 540, or call for a service appointment at 646-2674.
By the way, Chad Morris, after the game, was meeting with the media, and he was asked about the lack of focus, or was there something going on, and here's what his response was.
I was a little concerned in pregame warm-up, to be honest with you. I thought we were a little too loose. I thought it was a little too giddy, and I made a comment of that. We're not good enough. We're not good enough to be able to come out and just walk out on the field with a Razorback logo on your helmet and expect you're going to win. You got to show up and play, and we didn't show up and play, and no phase of it. We punted the ball halfway decent tonight, but my goodness. I love the fight. We come back, we tie the game, and here we go. We really thought, here, as bad as we played, we're fixing to win this football game. And we couldn't finish it.
But that's the thing, is it, all that makes sense. But that, and ultimately, that's on you, Chad Morris.
Why can't Chad get this message across to his team? I think Chad Morris gets it. I know some people out there like screaming at me through their dashboard right now. I think Chad gets it. He can't seem to translate the message to the players. I mean, he's not without knowledge. He's not without understanding. Now, is he an SEC-level head coach? I'm not certain about that, and it's reasonable to question at this point. And there's a lot of people questioning that. But he understands what's going on here. He can't get the players, and that's the coach's job.
Yeah,
that's job one. I mean, and he can't get the players to understand what he's saying.
Yeah. And again, you're talking.
Well, maybe he's not preaching the sermon early enough. I don't know. Well, we're not inside those walls.
There. But again, Tommy, it'd be one thing if Arkansas had beaten Texas A&M, and then the next week against Kentucky they lay an egg. Like it's a different thing. But I get that you want to feel good after wins.
But they celebrated a week ago, John, like they had beaten Texas A&M.
I know, and that's where it starts to make me wonder. Okay,
that
is that
ridiculous.
Why? Is that why you were overlooking? Is that why you thought you'd just walk in? Is because you thought everything was good, everything changed, you could just walk straight in and take care of business, be home for dinner, and then go on to Texas A&M? Yeah. That's what it looked like to me. Yeah. And if that's the case, and like Chad Moore says, you're not good enough. Well, how come they don't know that? How come they didn't know that before they got into the game? How come they don't know that they're not talented enough to live on talent alone and to win on that? That's my question, is why didn't they know it? That's the type of stuff that, like you said, Tommy, that's basics. That's 101 when it comes to college football especially.
Yep.
Just don't understand it. Continue to go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Rod is on I-40. What's going on, Rod?
Mr. Neighbors, Mr. Kraft, and Mr. Richardson. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning, sir.
Black Monday. It was so bad I had to call Burns yesterday to get some sympathy from Bless Their Little Hearts. And I couldn't even wait for Monday. It was so terrible. Did Malzahn recommend Morris for this job?
Yes, they are close friends.
Okay. All right.
That's what we've been told. I mean, we know they're friends. We've been told he recommended him. Yes.
Okay. When I got divorced, I didn't ask my ex for dating advice for my next one. Getting advice from somebody who is a division rival head coach might not be the wisest move you ever made in your life, I don't think. Anyway, I'm trying to keep my stomach down. It's kind of upset, been upset for a couple of days. Like, hey, hard to wait to hear what Eddie has to say, because, Lisa, don't mince words. Tell us what you really feel.
Yeah.
Strong call from Lisa earlier to start the show.
Yeah, I'm not really quite sure about this cat. Well, I am, but I'm not. But I'm going to go home now and tear up my poster before halfway through the season for the third year in a row, because I've got nothing left to write down on. I got a feeling. So, anyway, guys, thank you for taking my call.
All right, well, appreciate it, Rod. Appreciate it, man. Listen, I think that Razorback fan, especially now that there's been about 48 hours-ish, roughly, to kind of digest this whole loss, try to process it, and I think hopefully the BAC level has gone down from the post-game show that we had, because there was a few people that were still feeling themselves from the game. You know, that's the reactions I feel like that everybody needs to have, or at least the ones that may have a little more credit, just because now that everything's chilled out, you've had time to process it. But it looks like from at least the text messages that we're getting and the phone calls we're getting, most people are still feeling it and still feeling that they want to change. But because here's the thing, Tommy, like what can you change? What can you do now? Because what's happening now cannot be tolerated. So as a coach or as an administrator, I mean, what can you do to fix this now? Because we keep hearing it from Chad Morris. He's like, we just need to get back after. We're going to come in tomorrow. We're
going to
do this.
I mean, what else is he going to do? Physically, what else are they going to do? They're going to get up. They're going to watch film. They're going to have practice. They're going to go through their routine.
But they got to change the routine, because the routine's not working.
You know, let's get back to that at some point, because I know we got plenty of calls and texts coming in. But Kevin Kelly, the head coach at
bring that up.
Pulaski Academy. I retweeted this, and a lot of people had nearly 500 likes when I saw it for the first time, so I don't know where it's at now, but if you want to go to at TommyCraft ESPN, you can find it there on my timeline. I think a lot of people in our state have a lot of respect for the head coach at Pulaski Academy, Kevin Kelly. And that was his point, was, hey, whatever preparation you're doing isn't working. And he gave some reasons why, and I thought the more he explained it, if you read some of the mentions and he talked more about it, was very insightful from a guy that I think a lot of people believe knows football. There's a handful of coaches I think you put on the top shelf in this state. He's there with Rick Jones and a few others around the state that are active high school coaches. I thought his comments were very insightful.
Yeah, and those are the types of comments that makes me wonder, all right, this guy's somebody like Kevin Kelly, obviously at the high school level, but it's like coaches, no matter if it's high school, well, college, or NFL.
Yeah.
And I think Coach Kelly, who's been around a long time, had a lot of success,
and he's
got merit.
Offensively, he's unconventional. Yeah. This is the guy that onside kicks, doesn't punt, does a lot of things that are unusual.
And it works.
But he wins a lot. And
that's right.
You know, he wins a lot, and I think he knows his football.
That's right.
And he's put out, probably as far as a single school, putting out players. Now, he's had the great fortune of having the Henry family there to come through his school, but he's put out a number of players that have went Division One.
Yeah, and when he's calling out those types of issues.
But he questioned the preparation.
Right. Well, it needs
and the
to
effectiveness
be.
Of it.
Yeah, because this is happening way too many times for it to just to be a coincidence. There's got to be something going on there. Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Jimmy is in Conway. What's going on, Jimmy?
Top of the morning to you, fellas.
Top of the morning.
Hey, I'm all about some Kevin Kelly. I would take him right now.
Well,
I'm disappointed in this.
Yeah, but that's not the conversation. The conversation is whether or not the preparation this team is doing is working.
Well, I want to ask you guys a question. I'm disappointed with the team as a whole, but this defensive coordinator, have you seen anything from him in 2 years here that has made you say, yeah, we got a good one? I'm not seeing a thing, nothing. It's the worst defense I've ever seen.
Yeah, the defense itself, I think, of course, I mean, it's bad. No, don't get me wrong, and statistically it's bad, but the defense itself, my biggest issue is just the lack of physicality. And like, they will blitz six guys and not get any pressure on the quarterback. You know, Chad Morris even mentioned, he's like, yeah, we gave him enough time to sit back there and eat a sandwich. And I was like, how do you blitz six guys against five offensive linemen against San Jose State, and you can't even get close to the guy? How does that make sense?
He's making a lot of money. We can get a lot better for less, in my opinion. I don't know. I just want your opinion on it, guys. Have a good day.
I appreciate the phone call.
It's not like John Chavis went to sleep one night and all the knowledge fell out of his ear. And it's not like San Jose State came in here, and everybody says, well, yeah, but he can't keep up with today's game. San Jose State didn't come in here and tempo you to death. That wasn't the deal. They didn't.
They ran slants the entire time.
Yeah, but so don't tell me that, well, John Chavis, the game is passing by. You can have that opinion, but that's not what got you beat Saturday night. This wasn't tempo, and you just were dragging your tongues because you weren't conditioned to play at the pace that San Jose State went. That's not what happened. I mean, this is basic fundamental football that you just got whooped at. So, I mean, I get the argument that, well, today's modern game, John Chavis can't get with it. If you want to have that opinion, that's fine. I don't necessarily buy into all of that. But Steve Caldwell and John Chavis have coached together for a long time, and they've been in this league. I mean, no one's been in the league longer than Chavis. I mean, he's been coaching in the SEC as long as I've been alive.
But you got to admit, Tommy,
but
though.
But you got to get results. I mean, bottom line is results. My point is, all of his critics say he can't keep up with today's modern game. This wasn't today's modern game that got him beat Saturday night.
No, but you got to admit, though, that there's something to be said about the fact that when he was at A&M, too, he struggled with the same issues they struggled with at Arkansas. And it just makes me wonder. Because I'm not going to go and just say he forgot, the game's passed him by. But there's got to be something to that. That he's having the same issues defensively as a defensive coordinator that he had at A&M.
But the calls we take, the text we get, all say, well, he doesn't know how to coach against these modern offenses. Well, that ain't what beat you, Saturday.
No, not in
so
this
that,
example.
That doesn't work.
Listen, Josh Love, the quarterback for San Jose State, did not do anything that was just mind-blowing.
No.
And this offense, I mean, he's an athletic guy. I don't want to, downplay it a little bit, but he wasn't beating you with his legs. It wasn't like you were doing a really good job of rushing him, but it was the containment issues. It had nothing to do with that. But I'm looking at it, and Josh Love threw for 402 yards, completed 32 of 49 passes for two touchdowns and a pick. Do you want to know what he did against Tulsa? 16 of 30 for 189 yards. Against Northern Colorado, he was 21 of 31 for 224 yards. I mean, that's got to hurt when you know that Josh Love, the quarterback for San Jose State, and because he was going back last year too, he statistically had his best game as a quarterback against Arkansas. Better than what he did against Northern Colorado. And as we mentioned, it wasn't anything crazy. It was just slants the entire time.
The reality is, I know it was 31-24 in the end, but it really wasn't that close.
No.
I mean, if you watch the sum of the game, Arkansas got whipped at the line of scrimmage, both sides of the ball, for four quarters. It's an amazing. I'm going to tell you what's amazing. The fact that Arkansas late in the fourth quarter had a chance to at least extend the game to overtime. And, of course, we all know what happened on the final drive for San Jose State.
Tale as old as time.
I mean, the amazing thing is this wasn't a North Texas deal last year where fourth quarter wouldn't have mattered. You can mount a drive or two. Doesn't matter. That's the amazing thing. And this wasn't a deal where, Arkansas fumbled the ball in the short field. Now, there was five interceptions, and I get that. And you can't win when you have five interceptions. But this wasn't a deal where, they had five. You had two different special team scores. You had turnovers that let. I mean, yes, they intercepted the ball, but
the referee screwed you over.
This wasn't anything like this. You lined up and you got whipped. We'll get into it with Clay coming up in the next hour and Starkle's performance. We haven't spent nearly enough time on that. He threw five, and my God, it could have been 10. How many interceptions did San Jose State drop? Three or four, I'm certain of. That they had their hands on the ball. And a couple of them would have been pick sixes because they were out on the edge and would have been, been nobody to stop them.
Yep.
Very fortunate this thing isn't an embarrassing final. It's embarrassing that you lost. But this could have been much worse.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely could have been much worse.
I mean, listen, Starkle still threw for 356 and three touchdowns. The five interceptions. Five interceptions is you can't have.
And then, Jesus, how do you even let a quarterback throw five interceptions?
Not pulling them?
Yeah. How does that even happen?
I don't know. These are the questions everyone has.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
If you want to get on the conversation, call or text the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963. His number to call in. Let's go to the hotline as Ryan is in Van Buren. What's going on, Ryan?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm not on the ledge of the bridge just yet. Y'all kind of, really, honestly, you kind of took some of my anger thunder because y'all covered the things that was really just tweaking me out over this whole game. I'm glad I didn't plan my Saturday around it. So since all that got taken, I guess I'll try to take some positives out of it that the coach that seemed to make an adjustment from what I could tell when I was following the game was our defense, because at least in the second half, they held them out of the end zone at least till the end. And we did at least manage to score points in the second half, which our previous team wouldn't have done, and that loss would have been a lot worse. I just think that we had a quarterback trying to play hero ball and a bunch of young, immature players too busy smelling their own stuff. But I think it's coachable. It's just, like y'all said earlier, is this coach going to be able to do it? Are they going to make the changes in what they're doing different, to do something different? Because it don't get any better from here as far as schedule, for sure. And a team that we got to play next week just put 20-plus points up on the, one of the best defenses in the SEC, according to what the experts say. So I'm just, but I did try to find some positives in the game, and I'm just hoping that we can go forward with that and build off of it. Yeah. And that's all I got. I'll hang up and listen, guys.
Diamonds in Murfreesboro may be easier to dig out than positives from Saturday.
Hey, I appreciate it, Ryan, because you know, some silver lining there is always. Always appreciate it, especially during these dark times. But, you know, the thing is Clay, and one of the, I think it was when Chad Morris was meeting with the media afterwards, he pretty much summed it up as far as, you know, the reasons why they lost we've dived into. But you, if you throw five interceptions and you give up 400 passing yards, those two things together, I don't know many teams that win when those things happen.
No, and I was very – I listened, John, you pick out the intro music, right?
Yes, I do.
And you're just dynamite today.
Thank you.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I mean, how can you? I mean, that where we're at, Arkansas football, it is darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you could, you know, you could have played Metallica, Sandman, as San Jose State came out on the field. I mean, coming to put you to sleep, and that's what they did. Yeah, it's you know, it's. It's take one step forward and two steps back. That's what we've seen so far this season. And, you know, you're fixing things and then something else breaks. And it's like, you know, it's like you're defensively. I think John Chavis has to feel like he's the guy at the dike, and he puts his finger in this spot and there's the leak is it's way down there at the other end of the dike. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was interested to watch how they were shuffling guys around in the secondary to try to find a combination that could slow down that passing game. Of course, they were shuffling around in the defensive line as well. I mean, they're playing a lot of guys trying to find what's the best combination. And, you know, of course, then they match personnel. But the defense, I guess, probably concerns me more than the offense because I think they will get Starkle lined out. I think it will be helpful when they get Treylon Burks back, and they're going to get Jordan Jones back at some point, and that's another guy that will make a difference in the passing game. It'll stretch the field a little bit. I hadn't really seen a burner out there. They're all possession type receivers, and maybe Mike Woods has the deep speed. You saw that once in the game, but they definitely missed Burks, and they definitely missed Monteric Brown, and so that speaks to the fragile depth that we knew coming into the season. You just they weren't going to be able to absorb a lot of injuries, and now here we are, week four, and they're in that precarious situation where every injury seems to impact them in a really big way.
Just not there.
Not enough guys.
Not enough guys. Not there on the roster. We're brought to you by Williams Tractor. They have the nonstop workhorse for your nonstop world. Six different models to choose from in the PowerStar family of tractors, including a 64 to 117 engine horsepower with two different cab options, the open-air ROPS platform and the spacious Vision View cab. Learn more about the PowerStar family of tractors at Williams Tractor in Fayetteville, Berryville, or Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas and Rogers.
Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Marlin's in Dallas. What's going on, Marlin?
Good morning, gentlemen, and I hope that everyone's doing as well as you possibly can due to what we witnessed on this past Saturday. Man, there are so many different things that you can talk about that went wrong in this game. I'm going to try to keep it short because I know y'all are probably going to have to go to break, but just think about the head coach and the reaction after that Colorado State. And when you talk about Club Dub, that is going to compartmentalize into those players' minds like, hey, okay, we've reached a pinnacle. But if your coach allows his team to prepare in a way that they have made it during the week, and when you get to the game on Saturday and you say that you're concerned about them being too loose and giddy, as a head coach, you cannot allow that to happen. You don't see a Nick Saban or even an Ed Orgeron, for that matter, allow his players to become complacent based on a beating a team that you should have won. You should have won the game in the first place. And the thing that concerns me about Chad Morris is that he consistently gets outcoached. Consistently. This isn't This isn't a one-time thing. This happens all the time. There are coaches with lesser talent in lesser divisions that consistently outcoach Chad Morris, and that permeates through his players. They take on the personality of their coach. If they're getting outcoached, they're going to get outplayed. And it upsets me because I know we're better than that. It's not a talent issue. It's a coaching issue. Colorado State doesn't have better players than us. San Jose State doesn't have better players than us. But they have to have the pride and the gonad to get themselves ready for a game that they're supposed to win and beat them. And that's all I have to say. I'm sorry to get so angry, guys. No. But this is too much. No. This is too much, man. And I honestly hope that Chad Morris can get his guys into some type of gear next week against Texas A&M. Because I bought tickets to this game, and I'm considering selling them. But I want to support my team because I'm a Hog through and through. But at the same time, enough is enough. At what point in time is enough for this fan base? We deserve better. I'll hang up and listen, guys.
Appreciate the phone call,
Marion. Great call, and I think you wrap up a lot of the sentiment of a big swath of the fan base right now.
Yeah. Is that people are trying to want to be supportive. People want to find reasons to be excited and reasons to be hopeful. And, you know, there's nothing there. And, you know, I talked about on the post game show, we opened up the show with it about how the fans do deserve better and how we're all tired of having to come onto the show and do post game shows and talking about disappointing and embarrassing losses. I mean, it keeps adding up, man. And at some point, the fan base is just going to turn their back, and that's the last thing you want to do if you're Hunter Yurchek in the administration, is lose the fan base.
Yeah,
guys, we go back to the Colorado State game, and I mean, I'm in the interview room, and the question was that fourth quarter, you know, the defining moment? I kind of cringed a little bit when the question was asked, and then I also cringed when he said, yes, it was. Well, I don't think you know the defining moment until you look back at the end of the season. And, you know, you have to make sure that you have to define the team before you can have a defining moment. And, you know, you can't do that at that point in the season. You don't know. And you can't tell the team you turned the corner yet. I mean, I think you have to tell them, we're still climbing that hill, and we don't know where or when we're going to get to the top of the hill, but we got another game this week. And that's what the good coaches always say. They don't ever tell you you've just hit the defining moment, because when you do, the human nature is, oh, you relax, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this team did. I don't think – and I wrote it at halftime. My lead for my story was written at halftime when I saw the baton twirlers out there with fire on their batons. It was the first time I'd seen any fire all night.
Yeah.
With anything with, you know, wearing red. And she was out there. She was ready. And I think fans were ready by and large. You got to show them something.
Yeah.
And that team did not. In 24-7 at halftime.
Yep.
And I was amazed. San Jose State was there to be beaten starting at the end of the first half when they took a knee at Arkansas's 44-yard line and when they could throw it anytime they wanted to. I mean, I'd have loaded it up and thrown it to 10, you know, Trey Walker, because they weren't going to be able to cover him. At that point, I thought, well, Arkansas will win this game because they're going to play conservative in the second half, thinking that they've got enough points. Well, they didn't have enough points because Arkansas is capable of scoring on that defense. But Arkansas did not play well enough in the third quarter on offense. They did on defense with what San Jose, but it's like you have to have fire from the start. They're not, you know, it's like Chad said, they're not good enough to show up with the Razorback logo on that helmet. There's nobody scared of a Razorback logo right now. I promise you.
We talked Friday about concern, or I was concerned about it being flat, but there's a difference in being flat coming out for a couple of series and then what you're describing, which is accurate, and no fire, no motivation, no sense of urgency at all. I mean, it's ridiculous to think you'd even be flat coming off a Colorado State win, but they celebrated, and this club dub had a hangover for 2 or 3 or 4 days. Everyone seemed to be talking about that and overlooking San Jose State. Clay, this wasn't flat. This was, as you're describing accurately, no fire, no push, no motivation at all.
Did we lose Clay?
I think we lost Clay.
No. He followed up on my point and covered it. It was time for the host of the show to jump in there and redirect us. Come on, sassy dog.
Oh, I thought that was you, Clay, when you come on Mondays. I just hand the host baton over to you. But no, but here's the thing, too, Clay.
I wanted to
jump back into this about the mentality of this team and the way that they came out and what that San Jose State was trying to do. It wasn't like this offense was really doing anything so innovative and creative. I mean, the amount of slants that this team was running and it just throwing a nickel and diamond down the field, that's what I couldn't understand either, is because this was pretty basic stuff. I mean, they were just running slants so effectively, and Arkansas had no answer for it. And that's another thing that's really concerning, is because it's like, well, if you couldn't even handle the basics, if you couldn't even go out there and handle some of the basic offense.
I would disagree with you. I did not think they were slants. I thought they were deep curls in front of the safeties. And they had 6 seconds to run them. I mean, a slant is raise up and throw it, inside of the corner. I wish that's what they were doing, because that had been a 5-yard play. They were able to run the deep curls. They were able to run, the back foot, whatever, your back shoulder pass, down the sideline. They ran every play that they wanted to run. And it wasn't just in losing Monteric Brown. It was a major deal. I thought Ladarius Bishop was probably ready to play. He was not. And, they got at least 2 pass interference calls that I was questionable. One was deep down the field, and I saw the replay 3 times, and I was like, well, that's not pass interference, because the same thing had happened going the other way with Arkansas, and they didn't call it. So I was like, well, you got to be consistent. But they were worse than the officials. I'm talking about Arkansas's defensive play. I mean, if their defensive play had been really good, then I would be upset at a call or two that wasn't right. And they obviously were correct on the spot on Nick Starkel's sneak. It wasn't close to the line to get. So I'm not going to, those are things that you did to yourselves. It's the defense didn't cover. They didn't get pressure. The offense didn't get any push, especially on the fourth down plays. I did like the last fourth down, which was, okay, if you can't run it between the tackles, let's do some kind of a counteraction outside, and they got 16. So that was a creative
play
call.
Whaley.
And I wrote in everything that I'm saying now, I wrote either at halftime or right after the game, I didn't think that the play calling was creative. I didn't think that that they attacked enough defensively, enough blitz. I mean, they're not stopping them. You got to do something different. And, they did a little bit in the second half, but they still never got the quarterback off his spot. And, that guy proved that you didn't get him off his spot, he's going to complete big passes to Trey Walker. I think 12 for 161. he's a good receiver, but you got to do better than that.
The Monday Morning Quarterback brought to you by Crabtree RV in Alma, up to $15,000 off on new fifth wheels, up to $10,000 off on new travel trailers. They're getting you ready for fall camping season. Right now, the new 2020 models are arriving from Grand Design and Coachman Freedom Express. You can check those out as well. It's all at Crabtree RV in Alma, exit 13 off of I-40. It's where your family's dreams come true.
Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Skip is in Bella Vista. What's going on, Skip?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Pretty good, man.
Say that the guy said that Nick Starkle's playing hero ball. That's not right. Nick Starkel was running for his life that whole game. I mean, I've seen maybe 2 of those interceptions might have been on him. But, man, that guy was getting drilled every time he tried to throw the ball. It was terrible. I'm not going to name names of any kids because they're kids playing football, but I saw one guy on the right side of the line there blocking to his right, and the guy comes right up the gap to his left. Now, they teach kids in the 7th grade, you cannot let that happen. and that guy came untouched right up the middle to hit our quarterback. You're going to get somebody hurt doing that kind of stuff. And, you know, and our defensive backs could not tackle. I mean, I don't know what these guys are doing in practice, but it looks like they haven't been hit at all, and they're not ready to play. I mean, that's really what it looks like to me. I don't know what y'all think, but, man, they're not ready to play. They were not ready at all to play this game, you know. It was obvious from the get-go.
Yeah. Well,
that's just my take.
Yeah, well, appreciate your phone call, Skip. And no, I mean, that's painfully obvious. This team was not ready. I mean, they looked like a team that, at first when I was watching the game, Clay, and I'm sure I think we've talked about it, that you kind of felt the same way. It almost looked like at first, I was like, are they overlooking this team at A&M? I mean, is that the mentality that they've had? But then when you hear Chad Morris come in the press conference and say that they were too giddy in the pregame warmups, I knew something was up, and he had to say something about that. You know, it all comes back to, it's like, hey, as the coach, that's your job, man, is to make sure that this team is focused, to make sure that this team is ready, especially a team that's as young as this team is, where, you know, they haven't experienced the wins at a very high level, and with the celebration and everything that was going on last week, you as a coach got to get that reeled back in and get them focused in. And that right there is where they lost the game, in my opinion. Glazes, you know, they weren't ready, and they weren't ready to take on and understand how to react after a win like that against Colorado State.
Yeah, I think we've talked about it, but the message after the game was the Saturday victory over Colorado State is that we've arrived. And I don't think there's any way this team is going to arrive this year. It's not. It's going to be mixing and matching, pasting and taping it together to somehow get to where they, you know, they've got another recruiting class in. And I think we've talked about that this is, they lack a lot of things still, and they're probably real fragile still. So you have to be careful. So I would say, looking back, Club Dub is maybe a nice idea if you're 4 years into your program. It probably was not a nice idea for year two. And I mean, I saw stories about it, you know, that recruits really like it. And that's probably what that's all about, is getting recruits into campus and seeing the atmosphere. Well, you got to win enough so that when you have recruits on campus that you can unveil that. Well, they're not to the point where they can consistently do it. And they had 350 on campus Saturday night. You got to be more concerned with what they're going to see on the field than what they're going to see in the locker room afterwards. That's my opinion.
Absolutely. Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Bob is in Nashville. What's going on, Bob?
Oh, good morning, guys. Appreciate you taking the call.
Of course.
I did have one suggestion for you. Next time you open with the Sound of Silence, if you could play the Disturbed cover of Sound of Silence, a little darker than the Simon.
It is really dark. You're right.
Man, I just want to echo the sentiments of business. I think San Jose watched two games of film, and they saw blood in the water. They came ready to play. They were ready to tear our head off. And usually with these small schools, in the second half, you worn them down. They just don't have the depth. But, man, those guys played with a heart. Third quarter, they did drop back a little conservative. When they needed to turn the dial up the fourth, they did. And they went back to the same receiver they've been throwing to all night long. Kind of reminded me of the early 2000s with Oklahoma State playing OU. They'd have one go-to receiver and hit him again and again and again. And, man, I really think this coaching staff and team, it's going to be a repeat of the 4 days. Some recruiting classes couldn't win, and we're going to have a rah-rah coach come in shortly afterward like Nutt and take credit for all the recruiting and get all the wins. That's probably coming in the next couple of years. Anyway, I'll hang up and listen.
Well, appreciate the phone call, Bob. And, you know, there's something else that we haven't really gotten into, and I was curious about this, was, you know, San Jose State had a bye week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, heading into Arkansas.
And also,
as we talked about last week, there's no team that's afraid of Arkansas. There's no small team that's afraid of the Razorback
logo. Not even in Fayetteville.
Not even Fayetteville. So those factors is probably why San Jose State was so ready to play.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle. And Collins on the run. They won't catch him.
Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas. 80 yards.
Let's take a short detour and think about something positive for a second. Clay, you went to the baseball exhibition Friday night. There were over 6,000 fans in attendance, was the estimated crowd. And how did the team look? Give us, I mean, I know we're talking football, but it'd be a shame if we didn't at least bring this up when Arkansas had a pretty impressive crowd at an exhibition, you know, for fall baseball.
Yeah, just a few things to talk about. And they've got, and I don't have my roster right in front of me. I'm still learning them all. Cole Alston played third base, made two stops going to the line. He almost got a third one over there, made a dive and tipped it. He's a double transfer. He's been injured his whole career. They cut him at Arizona State at the end of last season because he's had several injuries that kept him out of the lineup, and everybody knew he was ultra talented. And I think he hit three balls on the nose. One was caught. He's playing in defense, and it's just, he's going to be a good player. And it's almost like they've just stumbled onto another Trevor Ezell, an older guy that can really hit that will be in the lineup. And then they've got Heston Kerstedt now playing first base, and I think that's going to work just from what I watched in warmups and got out there early. And, it's Bryce Matthews in left field is just a freak athlete. Long, tall. He didn't have a particularly good game, but the scouts that I talked to that have seen all the practices think that he's a can't-miss guy that is a lot like some of these others that they brought in, outfielders that, you know, you're going to get them in the lineup and they're going to play. So, they didn't win the game. And I heard some people mumbling, which is a holdover from Omaha that, oh no, they lost again. Well, it's a scrimmage game. I mean, I don't think either team really tried to win because they're pitching their top guys one inning, one inning, one inning, one inning, maybe two every once in a while for Arkansas. But it wasn't set up where you're looking at guys, and boy, do they have a deep roster. I think this will be another good team for Dave Van Horn. Surprise, surprise.
But Clay, the real question is, when in your article and in your story, did you cover just 9 innings or did you do the 14 innings? That's the question.
I only covered 9 innings.
Just the 9 innings. Okay. All right.
I went home after 9.
Okay.
Actually, I watched 10, but I just covered the varsity part of it.
There
and
you go.
When they got the JV guys out there, I was like, okay, it's it was 11:30, guys.
Yeah, that was our suggestion.
And I mean, and just remember, I started the day with you guys at 7 a.m., mm-hmm. So it was a long day.
Yeah, well, that's what you get paid the big bucks for, yeah, right
by,
there, Clay.
When I was going home, you were going out, John. I just know that's 11:30. That I've heard that's kind of the witching hour for you.
Yeah,
right?
He was headed to Club Dub.
That's my prime time to shine right there, Clay, is right at 11 p.m. So, but there you have it. There's your Hog Update presented by Ozark Sportsman Supply. If you want to get on the conversation, call or text the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963. We'll continue to talk about those reactions. And also something I want to get into as well is ranking the worst losses. Could this be the worst loss? Is this worse than the Citadel? Some Razorback fans think of that. You got something to say?
We may or may not have Eddie in Clarksville on line one.
Well,
so there's a
boy,
tease.
I tell you, Chuck.
If that won't hold you over for the top of the hour, I don't know what will.
Stay with us, folks. More of the Morning Rush coming up.
Hi, I'm Jack with Arvest Bank. My goal today? Play an epic drum solo. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Sorry about that.
Arkansas, John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Clay Henry, Ty Richardson, all in studio with you today. Thank you, as always, for making us a part of your morning this morning on a Monday Morning Quarterback presented by Crabtree RV.
Exit 13 off of I-40 next door to the Cracker Barrel in Alma. You want to stop in right now for up to $15,000 off on new fifth wheels, up to $10,000 off MSRP on new travel trailers. Fall camping is here. Check it out at Crabtree RV in Alma, exit 13 off of I-40. It's where your family's dreams come true.
Well, this is a call that a lot of people have been hearing about and wanting to know about and how his feelings are. Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Eddie is in Clarksville. Good morning, Eddie.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning to the fan base. First of all, let me just say, like I said on the post game, after the game, it was a sick feeling by the fans that were in attendance. I want to apologize to the fan base. You showed up, you answered the bell, you done everything you could to rally this team. Let's put the Coach Morris and his coaching staff. You showed up unprepared, and a player showed up unprepared to play a game. That's a shame. Let me say this. This was a game you couldn't afford to lose, and you lost it in our backyard. Let me say this. Any trust in this coaching staff is gone now. Any trust in this team to win another game the rest of the year is gone now. It's flushed down the toilet. What's insulting to me and the fan base? You got beat. It's no shame in losing a game. No shame in losing a game. But it's one thing to embarrass our program. You got beat in the fundamentals. Three carries, tackling, blocking, pass coverage. And that cannot happen. I'm calling in, gentlemen, and asking you. I'm reaching out today to the administration, to an athletic director, to alumni, to ex-players. Can we not reach out to someone that had a winning record in our program? Somebody like Houston Nutt, maybe, I know Ken Hatfield's getting older, maybe even Bobby Petrino as an advisor to go up on a hill and see what's going on in practice. Because it's embarrassing. I take great pride, gentlemen, in this program. I go all over the country to watch him play. You'll never meet another more passionate fan in the country than this old boy. And I'm getting older, and I have a dream. And it was flushed down the toilet. Let me tell you something. The players that have come through our program, great players. And I take great pride, and that was flushed down the toilet. Let me say this to Coach Morris. Coach Dillon, I didn't get a free ride. You're not getting a free ride. This coaching staff, you're not getting a free ride. And let me say this. There needs to be some soul searching within this coaching staff and these players. Whether you want to coach and whether you want to play on this team. Whether you want to represent this great fan base and this great university. I'll hang up and listen to some more comments. I know there was no call in the game plan. There was no bell ringing except on the San Jose State side. And I don't know what happened between Colorado State and this game. But without a doubt, I'll soon be 55, gentlemen. And that's the worst performance by a defensive team by Arkansas I've ever seen in my life. That's, without a doubt, the worst loss. I was at the Citadel game in the history of our program. So you have to eat it, Coach Morris. And I refer to you as a good shepherd, but it's hard to defend you when our team plays like this. I'll listen. And listen to your comments. Thank you, Jim.
And thank you for taking your call. Yeah, you're welcome, Eddie. Yeah. Thank you for calling in. And appreciated it. But, you know, there's a lot to unfold there. But, you know, Clay, you've been around the program, I think, a while. At least that's what the paper says. And, you know, as far as the losses and people were talking about, is this the worst loss since this, since that, and the other? You've seen a lot of bad losses in Arkansas Razorback football history. Is this loss on Saturday the worst loss in Razorback football history?
No, I mean, when you lose to a team with only, 60 scholarships in the Citadel, that's the worst. I mean, this was a poor Division I team, but it wasn't the Citadel. And, I'll take you back to the Citadel. It was the first game in the history of Hogs Illustrated 28 years ago. In fact, we're leaving the game. My daughters are, you know, they're like 12 and 13. They're in the back seat. And, we're talking in the front seat, my wife and I. And I had just been offered the job as sports editor at Tulsa World. Bill Connors was going to step aside in just a matter of weeks. And when I told him that I was leaving, he gave me a letter that said I'd be named sports editor, salary and all that kind of stuff. But I'd already made the decision to come back to Arkansas, and my wife was excited about that. And she looked at me and says, "What have you done?" So, yeah, but, you know, fast forward, you know, Hogs Illustrated has rolled along, and we've seen some other bad losses. And, you know, the Louisiana Monroe game was, you know, up there as one of the worst. And, unfortunately, you also have to say North Texas and Colorado State, just by the way the games unfolded, were bad. You know, were the fake punt return was just like pouring salt in an open wound, and it burned. So, I mean, there's been a lot to kind of digest if you're an Arkansas fan. I don't think this is Citadel, but it's in the top 10 and maybe in the top five. It was a tough one to watch. And again, the first half to me was just no fire at all in the team. And there's nothing there to think, they've got no hope in the second half. And if they play like this again, it's going to be, but they didn't. They played a little better. But I get exactly what Eddie said, and if he hadn't have said it, I'd been disappointed in Eddie, because that we know what he is, and we know the passion, and the passion was dashed with that game Saturday night against San Jose State. And it's like San Jose State was just, they were more prepared, they played harder, and just as Chad Morris said after the game, they deserved the game. I mean, it's like it almost would have been sad if Arkansas had come back and won the game because of how well San Jose played. But but you had the feeling going down the stretch that San Jose State was ahead by 5 touchdowns, and they weren't because they had dominated the game in such a big way.
Yeah. If they hadn't dropped all them interceptions. They could have, because they had 5 and they dropped about 3 more. And some of those could have been pick sixes. So it could have gotten even more out of hand. Hogs are trying to rebound this Saturday, 11 a.m. They take on Texas A&M. If you're looking for a place to watch the game, Joe's Grill and Cantina will be open. Half-price apps and taps during every game. They have TVs all around the restaurant. And, again, all the appetizers like brisket nachos, Mexican pizza, their sampler platter, all half-price during the game, plus all beers on tap as well. Half-price apps and taps during the Hog game, Saturday morning at 11, Joe's Grill and Cantina, 3400 South 74th Street, across from Harps in Fort Smith. One thing Eddie brought up there, Clay, was preparation and getting this team ready. There was a tweet during the game. This was Saturday night during the game. Kevin Kelly, the head coach at Pulaski Academy, tweeted this at 8:47 during the game. It says, "Whatever Arkansas football is doing in preparation, they simply need to change it. It's not working, so try something else. Whatever it is, these players are not getting it. There is a total discrepancy in this game towards Arkansas, so that is not the answer in this game." Talking about talent discrepancy. Is it a time for Chad Morris and this program to take a look at how they're teaching, how they're preparing, what's going on? Because I think a lot of people have respect for Kevin Kelly's opinion. He knows his football, and from what he's seen, this team's not taking their preparation well.
Well, it's whatever they were doing, you'd question it after that performance in the first half. And it's like, scrimmage more, scrimmage less. And we don't see the practices, so I can't tell you, what balance they have in that. It's like, hey, if you're taking it easy on Thursday and Friday, maybe you need to go a little harder. I mean, yeah, I just finished reading Lou Holtz's book, and there's 2 chapters in there about disappointing seasons. And in both cases, he said that his judgment early in training camp and then early in the season was that he had a physically tough team, and he backed off of what they were doing in practice. And gradually, as the season went on, they became soft to the point that they didn't have any toughness. And he says, once you lose that edge, you don't get it back. And I'm not saying that's what's going on here, because I think that part of it is inexperienced at some positions, especially at defensive end and wide receiver. And, then you have to say that Nick Starkle, what he did at quarterback was a big part of the game. And I know he could be protected better. There was pressure, and that's offensive line. But you do question everything. When you have a performance like that, you go back to all right, we did this, we do that. How do you adjust? What is it that we did that led to that performance? So I think some of it has to be mental. And I think, when you dance after the game and that you put that out on social media and that becomes a focus point, players get the message. you know, we have arrived. You say that's the defining moment. So, you know, some of it might be a mental deficiency in that, you know, that you lost your edge and you thought you'd gotten to the top of the hill and it was going to be downhill on the other side. No, this is going to be uphill all the way this year. And there's nothing that should make you think that you've arrived. But it was after the last game, there were comments. We have arrived. We're not going to blow leads anymore because we've got this guy at quarterback. Well, the quarterback didn't play like he'd been playing the previous three halves, and for basically three quarters. And, you know, they had stressed taking care of the ball in camp, you know, counting balls in jeopardies. You know, that was one of their stats. So, you know, that had been the focus then, but they got away from it in this game. And what caused them to get away from it? I just think it's the mental attitude that we've arrived, because they haven't.
Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino hotline. Pig Suey's on US 71. What's going on, Pig Suey?
Hey, man. I kind of got a theoretical question. I think you're definitely in uncharted territories. I was watching a pig trail and just some videos on YouTube uploaded. And after hearing Clay this morning, I kind of feel like the Arkansas media is falling off the wagon here. And we really haven't, I guess with Frank Broyles, he would always take action before the Arkansas media would, you know, directly fall off the wagon with the coaching staff. So what does that mean if the Arkansas media, you know, and I know the radio, you guys are more, I'm going to say fan-based, but, you know, in the print, you kind of have to be more neutral, I guess you can say, or somewhat positive outlook. But what does that mean if our team plays like we played last week and we don't get any better? There's no way the Arkansas media is going to hop this team up for next year. I mean, and that's a difficult position for Hunter to be in, and from an economic standpoint. So I guess my question is, Clay, the Arkansas media is off, it falls off the wagon, which I feel like that is happening now. What does that mean for the program? And do we need to start reaching out to Mike Leach and some of these other coaches that we may want to bring here? Thank you.
Yeah, I'm not the kind of guy that is going to go into the coach search stuff after four games. I'm just not going to do it. We're going to write what we see, and we've got something that we've seen now. You go through an August practice and you don't see anything. I worked real hard to find someone that had seen something and did that. There are a lot of games left to be played this year. You know, we're going to hear from Hunter Yurecek today.
Yeah.
He's speaking at the Little Rock Touchdown Club. I'm sure that he picked the game that he thought most likely to have a good performance against San Jose State to go pick. And so that blew up in his face. He's going to face some hard questions, but you don't reach out to anybody at this point in the season. You don't, you know, that's, as far as what Frank would do, someone asked me that at halftime, and I said, well, the first thing he would have done is that he would have walked out of the stadium at halftime. And he's like, really? He did that all the time. I mean, he would just walk home. And if he didn't like it, if he'd seen enough of it, he wasn't going to be around anybody to where his groans, moans, or anything like that were going to be interpreted, you know, this way or that way. And, he might call somebody, whether it be, you know, Terry Don Phillips or Chuck Dykus that night, and discuss, like, whatever he thought might be needed, you know, as far as a correction. And I'm not talking about firing coaches at that point. I'm just talking about, you know, what do we do this? How should we handle this? But he'd walk out of the stadium. He walked out of the stadium in Little Rock sometimes. And sometimes he missed some comebacks. But if he'd seen enough, then he just left. And I always get tickled when somebody, you know, says, well, the fans have left and they shouldn't. They shouldn't give up on the team. Well, he did it.
Yeah.
so it's like, if he's seen enough and he's leaving, I'm not going to blame any fan for getting frustrated and leave the stadium as well. And I wouldn't blame anybody for leaving at that game.
Yeah.
But as far as, you know, jumping on or off the bandwagon. I'm going to do Hogs Illustrated forever, and I'm going to cover the team, and I'm going to report what I see, and sometimes you don't see anything, and it makes it tough. But it's I don't think there's any other way to say, you know, their coverage wasn't good, their pass protection wasn't good, their pressure into the quarterback, and that they lack fire. I mean, that's what that game was. Now, I have a feeling that they'll play with a lot more fire in the Texas A&M game. Texas A&M is probably they're disappointed and down. You know, it's which one of these teams has their mojo back and plays with great effort? And sometimes crazy stuff happens with great effort. You know, hopefully a young team understands. And the season is not over. It was a bad game. Without question, but it's as the quarterback goes, this team will go. And I the leader's got to play better, and that's Nick Starkle. He's got to play better than he did last week. He got to get a little help. Can't do it by himself, but he cannot try to do it all by himself, which is what some of it looked like.
Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Looking forward to this one. Gary is in Arkadelphia. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, guys. Good morning. I guess it's a good morning. Woke up, started another day, so I guess it's a good morning. I just want to touch on a few things here. One reason I haven't called this show very much lately is the Brett Bielema, Jeff Long era of Razorback Athletics, a lot of us older Hog fans, it just beat us down and beat the fire and beat the passion right the heck out of us. And right after all they were gone, we had a chance to get that fire and passion back. Our baseball coach goes chokes one away in Omaha. And then it's followed up by a 2-10 season. And it's followed up by a bad basketball season. And then it's followed up by another disappointing baseball season, followed up by what's going to be another crappy football season. We've been dealing with this crap now for about 7 years or so. Nobody up there other than our track coach can win conference titles and national titles. And we're at the point where we just want somebody to win a dadgum conference title. Won't care who it is. Somebody win a dadgum conference title. But the program, this football program, guys, I think it's a point in overturn. We got it. But the previous coach recruited all these uncommon men, and we still got a bunch of uncommon men up there. Okay, what we saw Saturday night was, I had no fire because, you know, I haven't had fire because of what we've seen Saturday night. Nothing's changed. You got a quarterback coming out wearing a dadgum Beaver T-shirt, which all that says to me is, look at me, look at me, look at me. Okay, yeah, there's no I in team, but you need M and E to spell team, and there's a lot of me guys up there right now. The house hasn't been cleaned. We still got a problem. We got attitude problem. And this club dub crap, come on. You break this out. You went 2-10 last year, and you win your fourth game in 15 tries, and you go out here and celebrate like you've done something. Tommy, I'm like you. Now, if you wanted to break this out year 3 or 4 when you're winning 9 or 10 games, that's fine. But you hadn't done a dadgum thing yet. Nobody up there on the hill has done a dadgum thing. Dave Van Horn wins a lot of ball games, but he can't win the ones that matter. Been here 17 years. I think he's had one conference title. We need people up there that can start winning. And I think all the coaches up there are overpaid. I think we need to reevaluate their contracts. But, every time we think there's a chance to get – I couldn't get excited about this season because what am I supposed to get excited about? We're going to win 5 or 6 games. I'm sorry, but I just don't think I don't think it matters. You can go get Mike Leach, you can go get anybody you want. I don't think it's going to matter. The culture got established 5, 6, 7 years ago, and it hasn't changed. It's not going to change. Okay, I've got better things to do my Saturday. I'll spend my time with my grandkids and enjoy my Saturdays. And you know, I'll start watching meaningful ball games on TV and quit wasting my time watching the Hogs. But something's got to change. And, you know, everybody's griping and complaining we don't hear nothing out of 100-year check. Well, I think it's a good thing. Because our last AD every pregame show, he was on the radio. I haven't heard Hunter Yurecek on any pregame shows during football season. Okay? So, Jeff Long destroyed this university, destroyed this program. When he fired Bobby Petrino, he became bigger than the University of Arkansas. It became the University of Jeff Long athletic program. And nothing's, it hasn't changed. It's not going to change. We need, I don't know what we're going to do, but what we saw Saturday is what we've been seeing over and over and over and over and over. Okay? They may show up. They may not show up. They may have their head screwed on right. They may not. Who knows? This experiment with Chad Morris, I don't know. I don't see it working. But I think we're at the point right now that this program's never going to it's at the point of no return. There's no coming back. This is not worse than the Citadel by any means, but this is the worst stretch of football, worst stretch of Razorback athletics that we've seen, and I've seen in my lifetime. And all of us older Hog fans were fed up. We're disgusted. We've lost our fire and our passion. It doesn't seem like anybody up there has a fire and passion. And we're bound to, you know, we're at the point now, we don't have too many wait till next year's left as far as us older fans. And so I'm just at a loss of words here to really come up with what we can do other than let's just quit playing football. Let's focus all of our attention on the track program. Maybe y'all talk track more and quit talking all the other programs. I don't know, but I'm just tired of nobody up there being able to win. Okay, we're getting opportunities to win, and we can't do it. And it blows my mind to see a player come out. They talk about the club, they wear their T-shirt. Y'all talk about the five turnovers. Well, don't forget about the two turnovers on fourth down. Those are turnovers. I mean, you get your butt whipped by a team that most Division II teams could probably line up and give them a dadgum ball game and might even beat them, okay? Yeah, that's supposed to be the worst Division I team in football, but no, that's wrong. Arkansas is the worst Division I football team in Arkansas. We're the laughing stock of the country. Everybody's lining up to play us because they know it's going to be a pushover. Things have got to change, and personally, I don't think the coaches should get paid for this month. The three losses that they have occurred, and yeah, Portland State's a dadgum loss, were 1-3. Their paycheck should be deducted for those three losses because we hire coaches to win ball games, we hire coaches to win titles, and nobody up there seems to know how to get it done. But as a Hog fan, a lifelong Hog fan, you know, Jeff Long and Brett Bielema just beat the fire and passion out of a lot of us, out of us old fans. So maybe something will change, but I don't see it happening in my lifetime. Anyway, guys, that's all I got. Everybody else.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.